You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, we are in the second week of our Leading Well series. Last week you heard from Renu Thomas as she brought to us Leading Well, Navigating Your Family. And then this morning we're going to be talking about Leading Well Through Challenge, because whenever you have family, you have challenge. Whenever you are in life, you have challenge. If you are alive, if you are breathing, you have challenge. We can't escape challenge in this world, but we don't do it alone. Amen. We do challenge with God, and God always takes us to the other side. But there's three areas that I'd really like to focus on this morning in the areas of leading well in challenge. And the first area, some of the questions that have come from my heart, been on my mind in challenge: how can I learn to receive real rest? When the storm is all around you, when the winds are pushing against you in life, when there's challenge, how can I learn to receive real rest? When I'm running high, when I'm, you know, dealing with the challenge, God, teach us your church, teach us your sons and your daughters, teach us your people. How can we find real rest when there is a storm raging around us? Not distraction. We all know how to do distraction really well, but real rest where I can breathe deeply, be still, and know that He is God. The second area as we go through challenge that I want to focus on today: how do I discern what I will need on this challenge? How can I discern what I don't need? You see, nobody needs extra baggage because it always comes at a cost. God, teach us this morning through your word how to discern what to pick up, but what to let go when we're going through challenge. And lastly, how can I trust God's promises over my life when all I see is challenge? God, help our eyes to see, help our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. You see, you didn't come to church today. You are the church today. And God, through His Spirit, is opening your ears to hear the word of the Lord, because God will never leave you alone nor forsake you through any challenge that you go through. God is on your side. You are more than an overcomer. You are more than victorious today. And it's through His word that God is going to speak to your spirit this morning, and you are gonna come alive. You are going to be refreshed this morning. Your eyes are going to see clearly this morning. Your ears are going to hear the voice of God, because you don't face challenge alone. Praise God. This is our hope this morning, that God is revealing to you today how you can learn to lead well through challenge. And the first area, as you lead well through challenge, you will learn how to receive real rest. And I love what it says in Matthew chapter 11. Are you tired? Check. Are you worn out? Check, check. Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Look at those words. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it, says the Lord. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Two things that we often don't feel in challenge: living freely and living lightly. We live burdened. But God is saying here, you don't have to live burdened amongst challenge. I'm going to show you the way to living freely and lightly. Just keep company with me. My prayer for you today is that God reveals His word to your heart, how to experience real rest. That even though you might see a desert of challenge, there is always a journey in your desert. the journey God calls you to walk in, He will lead you. He will show you. He will provide the streams in your desert. How? Because you will hear Him. Isaiah says it, your own ears will hear Him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. No matter the wilderness you find yourself in, there is always a road of direction and clarity for you. That is God's promise to you. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way to go. Walk in it. There is always a journey in the desert. There is always clarity through the wilderness because that's the God you serve. Because you will hear Him this morning. God wants to lead you well through challenge. Amen. God wants to lead you well through challenge, not get obliterated, not stop you, not push you down. God wants to lead you well through challenge. Come. Get away with me, He says. Walk with me and work with me. Watch me how I do it. You know, King Jehoshaphat in the Bible in 2 Chronicles talks about an incredible trial that him and his people, the nation of Israel, come up against. King Jehoshaphat was coming against a serious trial of enemy armies invading his whole community. People, grandmothers, grandchildren, children, the enemy was coming against them. This was personal. This was real for them in this moment. But I love King Jehoshaphat's words. As the armies are coming forward, as the armies are coming to destroy everyone, he says, I don't know what to do, God, in this moment. I don't know what to do as these armies are coming to evade us and to kill us. I don't know what to do, God, but my eyes are upon you in this moment, in his challenge, in his trial, with death coming towards him. He said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. He wasn't panicked. He wasn't troubled. His words were firm. My eyes are upon you, God. Why? Because it is only you that can come and bring victory for us. It's only you that I can depend on. I can't look at anything else. It will distract me. The only thing that's going to give me victory is if I keep my eyes on you. Straight away, he came to God. And as he looked to God, sought after him and asked all Israel to seek God with him, God revealed to his heart, spoke to him, how he would deliver Judah without a fight. And I love what it says, that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he said this to King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged by this vast army, for the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat goes out to battle with singers leading the way in worship. You see, when the word of the Lord comes into your spirit, you don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed anymore. What your heart will do is worship, because you know that God has got everything under control, because the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. But it's up to us to keep our eyes on Him and follow Him through the challenge. And with the word in Jehoshaphat's heart, he goes out to battle, worshiping with the singers, worshiping with the worshippers, singing praises to the Lord before the enemy has gone down. Wow, that you can keep your eyes on God, and as a result, your heart can worship even before the enemy has been dealt with. That's the position that you hold in God. That's the place for you, that even if the situation hasn't changed, let me tell you, the situation is not irrelevant this morning. The situation is large. When you've got disease, when you've got cancer looming and looking at you, it is a huge situation and challenge that you are going through. But God is saying here, amidst the challenge, not irrelevant, amidst the challenge, I will speak to you. And if your eyes are on me, I am going to give you the strategy. I am going to cause worship and praise and thanksgiving thanksgiving and joy to well up in your heart even before the enemy has been destroyed. Because the battle is not ours this morning. The battle is God. I'm serious about this subject. Can you tell? I'm serious about this subject because we are a family that has great challenge in our lives with disease in one of our children's. I need to know from God that this battle is not ours to carry as a burden on our back, but this is the battle of the Lord, that He loves my child more than I love my child. And so when God puts a word into my heart, I'm going to grip to the word, not to the disease. I'm going to grip to the word because thanksgiving needs to come and pour out of my spirit this morning. They're singing praises to the Lord. And as they're singing praises to the Lord, the enemy is dealt with by the hand of the Lord. The alliance of nations turned against each other and they began to kill each other because they heard the word of the Lord. Get away with him and he'll recover your life. Keep company with him and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. You know, to lead well in challenge, you will learn how to discern what weight to throw off your life as you learn to live freely and lightly. And the second area that we're addressing is, how can you lead well when all that weight is upon your shoulders? How can we throw it off? How can we learn to live freely and lightly even though there's challenge and it's not going away, but the challenge is coming against us? You lead well through challenge as you discern what to throw off your life. Walk with him, work with him, watch how he does it this morning. You know, excess baggage always costs you personally. I hate when you're at the airport and you just want to shove a few more things and you think that they might just, you know, you can go undetected and then you don't go undetected and then you're coughing up $60. Nobody wants to pay for excess baggage. It costs you personally. Don't pay the excess cost. Take a pause, assess, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, there's so many things I can't control in this moment, but talk to me about the things that I can throw off that I can control this morning. I don't want to take any extra baggage on this journey of challenge with me. I'm challenged enough. I don't need the extra baggage. I want to learn to live freely and lightly because that's the promise of God through my life, through challenge. Don't pay the extra cost. Take a pause, assess, what is weighing me down that I can throw off? What is weighing you down this morning? What cares of this world? You know, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the God of all peace will bring peace to your life, will bring understanding to your life. God wants to help you to understand how to remove the baggage off of our lives so we can feel his peace. When you're in a season of great challenge, keep it simple. Learn what weight to take off, weight that adds unnecessary heaviness to your present challenge. I love what Hebrews 12 says. It describes it beautifully. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so many people who have done it before, who have walked challenge before, who have run the race of endurance and not got tripped up on their travels, we're surrounded by these great men and women in the Hall of Fame, great men like Isaiah, great men like Esther, great men like Noah. And they're saying to us as they're surrounded, you can do this run, but strip off every weight. We've learned that through challenge. Don't carry the things that you don't need to carry. Take a pause, assess, Holy Spirit, what can I get off of me? I don't want to run this race with heaviness. I want to race it with endurance this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race of God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. I don't know what to do. but my eyes are on you this morning, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And we see this in the life of David as he fought the giant Goliath. As he came as a young boy, 14 or 15, in one of the greatest challenges of his life, David knew what weight to throw off. He knew what fit was going to help him run this race against this giant. He learned what to focus on, and he knew who had rescued him. He spoke this language of faith and belief. He'd been in challenge before, but now he was coming up a giant called Goliath. But I love this language of faith. He says in 1 Samuel 17, "The Lord who rescued me," this is before he even goes in to meet Goliath. His declaration is already going out in front of him. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will certainly rescue me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine that is trying to defy the armies of the living God." See what he did with his words? He let his words go out before him, even before he stepped on to the battlefield. Why? Because the word does not fail you. The word always meets its destination point. Goliath was already hearing the resounding sound that this is a God who has already rescued me. So Goliath, you're going down this morning. Let your word go forth. Let it meet its destination point before you even get to the battlefield. I love as he then goes in and he gets to meet Goliath. And before he does, King Saul tries to put armor on him. It says in 1 Samuel 17, "Then Saul gave David his own armor." This is armor from a man going on to a child who is only 14. A bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these. Here's David, a 14-year-old, trying to wear these huge man's armor and take up this huge sword. And he's saying to King Saul, "King Saul, I'm protesting. I cannot wear this. It's too heavy. It's ill-fitting. I'm not used to this in battle. I can't go in these." So David took them off again. But what he did pick up was 5 smooth stones from a stream. You need to understand that there is resource for you in the streams that are provided to you from God in your journey. And he put those 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into a shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine and had victory over the giant who had harassed and seized an entire army. Here is a 14-year-old boy going with the declaration that the God who has rescued me will rescue me again. Testimony means do it again, Lord. When you find yourself in the midst of challenge, in the midst of the battle, remind God how he's already saved you. Remind God of what he's already done, how he's rescued you, how he saved you, how he's healed you, how he's restored you, and remind God of the promises. This is who you are, an enemy. This is who's coming for you. I'm letting my word go forth this morning. In your calling, know what God has called you to. He will protect. He will provide, and it comes from the streams he leads you to. By keeping your eyes on Jesus, he will reveal what weight to throw off and what to pick up from him. Unnecessarily weight will cause you to look through the wrong lens. What do you need to strip off that is trying to entangle the way that you see? That is trying to entangle the way that you think? Financially, emotionally, physically, learning to discern what is extra baggage and how can I clear the way to make my life more simple? God has called you to move freely even in the giant challenges of your life. In this journey you are on, it's not the challenge of taking down the giant. Your challenge is keeping your eyes on Jesus as he initiates and perfects your faith. Faith to believe, to trust him and receive his provision, which is the strategy from his streams of living water. John says it like this, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares rivers of living water will flow from his heart. The streams are in you. The provision, the strategy, the keys, the words, they are in you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The stream is inside of you this morning because of the power of the Holy Spirit. In the season or seasons of challenge, what fit is right for you as you come to fight the good fight of faith? I love what Timothy says in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Do you know what that word good means? It means kalos. It means beautiful. When Esther came before the king, she had to be prepared. And when she came before the king, she was so beautiful. That's what this word good means. The fighting the good fight of faith is a beautiful fight. It's not a burden fight. It's not a stressful fight. That was not the intention that God had for you, which means as his people, there is something for us to learn to come from a place of challenge where it's not fighting the good fight with burden and weight on our shoulders, but moving lightly and moving freely, because this is a handsome, this is a beautiful, this is an exquisite fight of faith. Not heavy, not ugly. This is a beautiful fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So how do I trust God's promises over my life when all I see is challenge? You lead well through challenge when you mix God's promises with your faith. Hebrews 4 says this, when the promises are mixed with faith, you find rest. For as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us onto God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We received the same promises as those people in the wilderness, but the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience this state of resting, but not if we don't have faith. So what is faith? Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real even if we don't see it. It's his word that helps us to see the reality of what it is that he's trying to show us. But if we don't believe the word, we won't see clearly what he has promised to us. This is why faith is so important. We have to believe what God says to us through his words, because when we do, our eyes are open to seeing exactly the promises of God that he has over our lives. Remember that God said, exasperated, I vowed. And I think that we need to really understand the right tone here, because sometimes we can read this with such a harsh tone of God, but I think it was a mournful tone in his voice. He had this incredible promise for the Israelites, his holy people, his holy nation. I want to take you out of slavery into the promised land. Will you just believe me? And he kept going to them and calling them and calling their hearts. I've got a land flowing with milk and honey. There's no slavery where. There's just freedom to raise your families. Will you believe me? And he kept going to them time and time and time again. But time and time again, they rejected God and said, no, just take us back to Egypt. Take us back to what is familiar. Take us to what we know. It's just too hard to believe you, God. And this is what he says, God says. They'll never get to where they're going. I feel like his heart is broken. These were his people. He just wanted to get them to the land flowing with milk and honey and freedom. They'll never get to where they're going. Oh my goodness, I had so much rest for them. they're never going to be able to sit down and rest in freedom, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. He had these plans since the beginning of time. The rest was there, and they keep rejecting him and rejecting him. They have rejected my promises because they wouldn't believe what I said to them, so they cannot see where I'm taking them. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't reject God. Don't pull away from him. God's promises are yes and amen for your life. What God says he will do, he will get you to. Why? Because his word never returns void. Today, when you hear his voice, believe his promises, believe the word of God, believe that he's going to lead you well through challenge, believe that you can do this without heaviness, without burdens, that you can live freely and move lightly. Don't harden your hearts. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. Today, your rest has come through believing in Jesus. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, do you know what you have? The Jesus who saves, the Jesus who rescues, the Jesus who restores. Do you know this Jesus that you have this morning? This great high priest with ready access to God. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. He has experienced it all but the sin. So let us today, the rest is here today for us. Let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Let me declare that into your spirits. Take the mercy. Accept the help of Jesus Christ. Even though the challenge gets big and you want to move into distraction, God has rest for you to move in. Rest is not distraction. Rest is in the promises of God that he has got the battle and not you. What is he asking you to trust him in? Oh, that's such a big one. What is he asking you to trust him in this morning with your family? What is he asking you to trust him in your marriage today, your children? What is he asking you to trust him in with your job? Because he wants you to find rest in him today. Trust him when he gives you a promise by consistently mixing it with faith and trust. Believe him and you'll see the reality for your life. Trust him and he will get you to where you are going. The devil will tell you are lost, that the situation has lost, because he is simply deflecting from the own truth on his life that he is lost and he has lost the battle. He is the accuser of the brethren. You can take your place this morning, your position seated with Christ, and believe, because it is finished. Death has lost its sting. Disease has lost its hold. Works have lost their grip because of Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. He took every challenge you would ever face and broke its power, broke its hold, so that you may enter his rest and realize that the battle is not yours, because the battle has already been won by Jesus Christ on that cross. His rest is your promised inheritance. Your rest is his promised inheritance for your life. This is not a state of relaxation, but a rest in the completion of the finished work of the cross. This is our insurance. He's not out of touch with our reality. Believing in him is the access key to rest. He is resurrected from the grave, resurrected from death, disease, turmoil, trauma, and challenge. Nothing could hold him down. He has finished the fight, and we now live in the completion of the finished work. So what does this mean for you and I this morning? This is a resting from your works. Your works because of the finished work of the cross. Who is your enemy? It's not your giant. It's not your disease. It's not your challenge. Your greatest enemy this morning is unbelief. Because of his promises, rest is always your destination point. He will get you to where you are going. So believe him. Don't harden your hearts in the midst of a trial. Turn to him. He'll get you to where you are going. The Israelites heard the promises of God. They heard the good news of forgiveness and were promised joy, but they didn't believe it. They wanted to stay what was familiar, to stay in what they had, slavery. God told them, I'm taking you out of slavery and bringing you to a land flowing with milk and honey where you will be free. But they did not have faith in his promise to give them a better future than what they had in Egypt. So they rejected God and fell into the wilderness. What if Jehoshaphat or David had stayed in the familiar and rejected the challenge? Because they faced it with God, we now have the confidence of their testimony that what God did in their lives, he will do again in our lives. The battle is not yours this morning. Your battle is taken from for the Lord. Why would you want a wilderness over a road that gets you through to the other side? I'm always going to choose a road over the wilderness. Don't fear the promises God gives you, because you can't see it or touch it. Let's think about that for a moment. Think about all the promises of God that he's ever spoken into your life through his word and to your spirit. Don't fear the promises God gives you just because you can't see it or touch it yet. Belief changes us and brings us into the reality of what our God sees. Right now, are you at rest with what he has spoken to you? I know the problem is not resolved. The difficulty is still there. You can see it. We're touching it every day. But you can be at rest because it's temporary. The works of God is finished. We are more than able to do this. So how can we do this morning? And this is a key that I want us to look at as the band comes. This is an incredible key that I read about this week and started studying. At the moment for my family, like I said, we are incredible challenge every single day. The challenge never ever goes astray. The challenge is in front of us. We can see it and we can touch it. So I needed, when I saw this, I knew that God had spoke to my spirit and given me an incredible weapon against the enemy. And it comes from the word Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem was the birthplace of our Savior, where Jesus Christ was born, housed, and protected. And in the Hebrew, this is what I want to look at, the word Bethlehem. You know, whenever you see the word Beth in front of a word in the Bible, Bethany, Bethsaida, Bethel, it always means house, the house of God. So when we look at the word Bethlehem, it means the house of God, but it also means the house of bread. And you find this in the word Bethlehem. House of God, house of bread. Let's look at John 6:35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Jesus, the house of bread, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Physical bread perishes, but he is a spiritual bread that will never ever perish but be eternal. Jesus, the bread of life, was born housed, protected in Bethlehem. You now have the house of bread. Protection. You now have the house of bread, that what you eat of, you will never hunger again. What you drink of, you will never thirst again. The house of bread, Jesus, has now made your heart his home. The house of bread, the house of God, is now living inside of you. This is not something that you have to travel to go to. The house of God, the house of bread, is living inside of you. Let's look at the end of that word, Bethlehem. I'm not even going to try and say it with an accent. But the word Lehem also means to fight, but also to feed. It means to fight, to do battle, to do war, but to also feed. So why did God use the house of bread and fighting as the same word? Why? Because feeding on the word of God is fighting the enemy. Feeding is fighting the enemy. We don't fight by fighting. We fight by eating, receiving, declaring the word of God as it goes forward. We feed on God's word and the enemy is defeated. God takes care of the problem. When God feeds you, He is fighting for you. Right now, you've come to church, you've cleared the way, you've made a space to come and sit and see God and hear from God. Right now, as you're hearing the word of God, you're feeding, but your spirit, God's spirit, is fighting your battle for you on your behalf. When you feed from God's word, you are fighting. When you feed from God's word, you are fighting against disease, you are fighting against cancer, you are fighting against challenge. It's not yours to come across to the giant. It's not yours to take down the enemy. It's God's. Your job is to feed. And as you're feeding, you are fighting. I thought I had to face the giant. I thought I had to keep dealing with the challenge all the time. On a spiritual level, on a spiritual level, all I need to do is read the word of God and I shall never hunger again. That's why I don't need to go and lean on distraction. I can go towards my inherited promise of rest. When we are fighting, we are feeding. When you're at church, you are feeding, you are fighting. You took time to be in God's house, and when He is feeding you, when you go back, the enemy is defeated. My focus is not on the challenge. My focus is to feed on God's word, because His word does not fail. His word meets its destination point to where I need to get to, but I gotta feed on the word. So often we try and deal with situations with words. We try and deal with challenges in the natural. And God is saying, the battle is not yours. The battle is mine. Look what I did with King Jehoshaphat. I turned the armies on themselves. And Jehoshaphat, you weren't even touched. Not one children, not one adult, not one grandparent was ever harmed, because the battle is not yours, Jehoshaphat. It is mine. But hear from me. And as you hear from me, feed on the word of God. And that is fighting. Psalm 23. Incredible scripture. We're going to worship in a minute. I want you to stand with me. I tell you why I needed this strategy so much from the word of the Lord. When you're in challenge all the time, it's very hard to find rest, because you're at it every single day. You're touching it. It's a reality every single day, wanting to be a burden on your shoulders. But God's teaching us this morning, church. God is teaching you why? To free you. The battle is not yours. Rest can be yours, even though you're touching it. Even though you're in the reality of the challenge, the battle is not yours this morning. You can find rest. My eldest son, for the last 3 years with epilepsy, has been having anywhere between 20 and 70 seizures every single day. It has just grown and grown and grown to that point over 3 years. The challenge is real, but the word of God is right. The word of God is powerful. It divides what is natural and what is of God. And so we declare with the word of God that God is going to help us to lead well through challenge. This challenge has never stopped the call of God on my life. It will never stop the call of God on your life, because when you feed, you fight. When you feed, you fight this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to guide, and to shield me. As you feed on the word, He guides you through the challenge, and you are under His protection this morning. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in peace.
every single one of us in this room this morning. Just with your eyes closed. You know, the biggest challenge to leading and living your life well is not having Jesus in it to start with. If you don't know Jesus personally, then life's going to be a massive challenge. I'm here to let you know today that you don't know Jesus personally. He loves you so deeply. Went to the cross to make a way for you to have a relationship with God so our sins could be forgiven, so we could be known personally by God, loved by God. So whether you're watching at home, whether you're in the room this morning, I encourage, if you don't know him personally, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus, surrender your life to God, to follow Jesus. If that's you this morning, here in this room, watching online, I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your hand up and say, yeah, I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. I need to surrender my life. On the count of three, if that's you, why don't you put your hand up? One, two, three. Is it responding to Jesus this morning? Respond where you are this morning. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. We're going to pray a prayer this morning, accepting Jesus into our heart, asking for forgiveness, repenting of our sin, and then saying, we're going to follow you, Jesus. With everyone's eyes closed, why don't you pray this prayer after me? Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on a cross, were buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I surrender my life to you, God. Forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, that Jesus is Lord, and God raised him. Today, God, I'm choosing to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Most awesome prayer that you can ever pray. If you prayed that this morning, I encourage you, don't just leave it there. On the way out, some of our team will have a booklet for you. What's your first step now? What do I do now?
Softened.
So as the team just begins to